All right, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. Lance Dahl, Zach Blackerby hanging out here with you on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Not so beautiful, Zach, as we have gotten some interesting news out of Oxford, Mississippi. Apparently, Ole Miss has just gone on a quarterback tangent here in the portal over the past couple of days. They've landed Walker Howard from LSU, and now they've gotten a guy that Auburn was going after for quite some time, Spencer Sanders. It kind of puts to bed a lot of different things for the Auburn fan base, Zach. But first thing I want to note here, this is something that we wrote recently about auburndaily.com. Sure. I know that you and I didn't talk about this before we started to record here. Lane Kiffin is just going after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback that the Tigers have been pursuing in the portal. And it's kind of weird at this point, right?
It is kind of weird. And if you ask Ole Miss fans on message boards, and we've kind of called out a few of them at auburndaily.com, but
they've got some interesting responses.
Yeah, they're like, he's only doing this to get back at Auburn. It's sure. Like, Auburn didn't do anything wrong to him. Like, right. Lane Kiffin should love Auburn. The fact that he was able to kind of use them to get a raise, and he was offered a lot of money to come to Auburn, supposedly. So I don't know. But as far as Spencer Sanders committing to Ole Miss, I think you said it. It kind of puts to bed the whole, okay, all right, Auburn's riding into spring with Robbie Ashford. You know, yesterday was really the last day for Auburn players to be able to enroll to participate in spring. And so I don't think with the timeline he would have been able to participate in spring anyway, unless they did it privately and then he committed, you know, today. That certainly could happen. But mixed reports on like how hard and how interested Auburn was in pursuing Spencer Sanders. I was in the mindset of like, I don't know if he offers more than what Robbie Ashford does. I certainly would have taken him in the room. Don't get me wrong. Inspire competition. But him going to Ole Miss is interesting with Walker Howard, as you mentioned. And then Jackson Dart is still there. Like, what does he think about all these quarterbacks coming in to, you know, I mean, he was okay last year. I don't think Jackson Dart's great, but I think he was certainly okay. I don't know. It's interesting to see what Lane Kiffin's doing. Spencer Sanders, I believe I think this is his last year of eligibility. You know, Walker Howard has plenty. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what all that looks like, but I'm comfortable with Robbie Ashford being the guy this spring.
Yeah, like you said, for Ole Miss and Spencer Sanders, it's just an odd situation for me, and I wrote about this over at auburndaily.com, because, like you said, Jackson Dart is still there. 20 touchdowns last season to 11 interceptions, also added 600 yards rushing on the ground. I mean, like you said, he wasn't terrible, he wasn't prolific, but he was managing the game for them for the most part. And so to bring in a former borderline five-star freshman, Walker Howard, and then on top of that, to bring in Spencer Sanders, who only has 1 year of eligibility left, meaning he's coming in to play. It's a weird spot for Jackson Dart. Would not be surprised if I saw him maybe consider entering the transfer portal at some point over the next few weeks, just because simply he's good enough to play somewhere.
Well, the portal's closed, so I mean that you can't enter the portal again from May 14th. Through May 15th. So, I mean, everybody's kind of, if you're in the portal, you can commit. The timing of it all, like, you're probably not going to be eligible to enroll in spring or practice in spring, but you can certainly commit if you're still in the portal. But yeah, the portal, as far as getting into it, is closed, that mythical place that is the transfer portal. So, Lance, let me ask you this. With the portal being closed and there not being like a clear cut, like, okay, Auburn is in the running for this quarterback, like the way it's currently sitting, Auburn is going into spring with Robbie Ashford, TJ Finley, and Holden Gurner as the quarterbacks. Scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence level in those quarterbacks? And then a follow-up question, scale of 1 to 10, what would it be if Spencer Sanders was in that room?
To answer the first quarterback room right now as a whole, my confidence in that room has to be about a 6. If you were looking at one individual quarterback and Robbie Ashford, I would say 6.5 or 7. If you're looking at Spencer Sanders being added to that room, I'd probably say 7, 7.5, maybe 8, just simply because I was excited about the production that he had at Oklahoma State. And I think bringing in a veteran quarterback that has not struggled with accuracy issues would probably be beneficial for Hugh Freeze offense in year one.
Yeah, now, maybe I'm booging on all of this, Lance. So kind of break that down for me, because I would have probably said, I think I'm probably at a 7 right now, and it may go up to an 8 if Spencer Sanders or a guy at that level of quarterback would have been added. But I don't think it would have changed that much. And maybe I'm too high on Robbie Ashford right now, but I just don't think this is that big of a deal that we missed out on. I just don't think Hugh wanted him. I don't think Hugh Freeze wanted him, Lance.
I don't think he did, clearly, considering Auburn just kind of, like you said, it was mixed signals throughout the process of potentially bringing him to Auburn. So It's clear that Hugh Freeze, if we're going to sit here and talk about confidence, has some confidence in the incumbent Robbie Ashford. I agree with you. I think here's my whole thing. The upside is there. Like, I think the athleticism and the talent is there. We saw it in flashes last season. But it's all dependent on whether or not Hugh Freeze can unlock that. His track record proves that he has, and he can. So I have confidence in that, but I just have not seen it yet. So as opposed to seeing somebody that has done it for 4 years in college football come in and do it in a system that would probably be good for him, compared to a guy that completed 49% of his passes and was even in touchdown and picks last year, I don't know. I'm excited about what Robbie Ashford could do for this team. Don't get me wrong. And I think that he can work things out. I believe that Hugh Freeze can develop him. It's just my pause comes from the fact that it has not happened yet. And so I just need to see it happen before I get really, really excited. But I do not blame you for booging one bit.
Yeah, and then I guess you just got to balance, like, do you want the upside of what Robbie Ashford could possibly represent? Or do you want what Spencer Sanders has already done? And it's like, I don't know how many extra wins, like, what you get from Spencer Sanders is versus what you get from Robbie Ashford is. So, I don't know. And once again, maybe I'm booging on this. And if I am, that is certainly okay. But I'm okay with the three guys. I'm okay with the three guys that you're going in. You get Hank Brown, the baby goat, at the start of the summer. All speculation indicates that TJ Finley will leave after spring. We'll see if that actually happens. But you still, I think, will have to add another quarterback before it's all said and done. It's just going to kind of depend on, you know, who you get. I mean, do you get a backup? Do you get, you know, a guy that's younger that has plenty of experience left? Do you get a veteran that's just kind of wants to play in the SEC and just kind of chill? I mean, there's so many different reasons to get different guys, but Auburn doesn't land Spencer Sanders. That becomes official as of earlier today. And honestly, Lance, I'm okay with it. How about those basketball Tigers last night, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Another dogfight in the SEC. Auburn, incredibly physical on the road, picking up an 18-point win there. Before we dive into that and kind of talking about how the Tigers just impressed, they continue to impress me after that loss to Georgia. I want to tell you guys about our friends over at NordVPN. This video is sponsored by our friends over at Nord. Staying safe online is becoming more difficult every single day. Yeah. It's really easy to get exploited by hackers nowadays. NordVPN, though, is here to help. They allow you to do things like change your IP address, makes you harder to track. They can help you secure your privacy. And NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal today. Check out the link in the episode description and check out some things from our friends over at NordVPN. They will definitely help you out and keep your browsing experience secure. All right, Zach, like you mentioned, Auburn 67, LSU 49. This was a game that featured a lot of runs from one set of Tigers, and it featured a lot of droughts for another set of Tigers. If I'm not mistaken, LSU did not score a field goal for the last 6 minutes and 27 seconds of this game. It was at the beginning of the second half. And then Auburn just decided that LSU's not going to score anymore.
Yeah. Like, to me, that was the biggest thing, right? That run early in the second half by LSU, I think they got it within like 2 or 3 points.
Yep.
And I'm texting several people at halftime, like, please, like, let's just get a chill win. Like, wouldn't that be great? Like, just on a Wednesday night, it'd be nice just to have fun and relax watching an Auburn basketball game. And then LSU comes out. I was like, of course, why do we say this? But then, man, Alan Flanagan hits a corner three, Lance, and that was it. Like, that was the game. Like, that was a dagger with like 17 minutes left of action. And I mean, the way they responded and went on a run after that, to me, the way they did that on the road when there was kind of some adversity against them, that was to me the story of all of this. And I think the biggest takeaway for, because that will happen again later in the season, and they can draw on that.
Absolutely. And look, it's something that was mentioned in the broadcast that I think is really interesting when you start to really kind of feel and understand the dynamic of this team, the way this team wants to operate this year, now that they're about halfway through the season, a little over now, actually. It's so different, I think, opposed to what some of Bruce Pearl's best teams at Auburn have been in the past. This is something that I was talking to with somebody last night, is they used to be not necessarily like your version of the air raid in college football, but they definitely like to spread things out, shoot a lot of threes, play with a lot of pace. And this year, the roster makeup has just completely shifted into a tone where things are okay as far as pacing goes. If you want to slow things down, they're much more physical. I think last year's front court was definitely a good indication of things to come. And now Jani Broome in the program, another really good front court presence for the Tigers. Zach, they have slowed things down. They've gotten way more physical. I think something interesting about the shooting in SEC play, it's actually statistically gotten a little bit better. So the Tigers are finding their identity. It's something different from what Pearl has had in the past, and they seem really comfortable in it.
Yeah, they do. They do. And look, you look at it, it's like, okay, well, LSU stinks. Yeah, there's no question. LSU's not that good. I think they're better than what they played Wednesday night, but still, I don't think right now they're a top half SEC team, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with
that. And that's on a down year for the conference. So we'll see what that means. But the fact of, okay, the rest of Auburn's schedule, I think like half of them are quad one or quad two opponents. Like, I mean, it's about to get a lot tougher. And so picking up wins like that, especially on the road, are going to be really, really important. And you can say the exact same thing about who they're playing on Saturday. They go to Columbia to take on South Carolina, who's actually probably worse. They may be the worst team in the SEC. Somehow beat Kentucky, wild, but like they're awful. Like they're getting killed by everybody. And so you got to find a way to win that game. It's on the road. But look, we talk about it time and time again, how this team's really good in Neville Arena. And as soon as they leave, like, are they even a tournament team? Like when they're playing away. And so if you're able to get an extra two quick wins away from Neville Arena, three, if you want to count Ole Miss, if you want to go back into last week, all of a sudden it's like, if you just take care of business at home, you're probably a top four team in the SEC. Meaning you get that precious, precious double bye. You don't have to play into the SEC tournament until Friday. And just everything kind of falls into place after that, Lance. So wins like what we saw last night against an LSU team, it means more than just the W, if you know what I mean.
Auburn right now, according to KenPom, and you know how much I love KenPom, Zach, is projected to finish 12-6 in the SEC, which would be good for third place in the conference. So right now the Tigers are on pace to finish with that double bye in the SEC tournament, which would be huge for them. You look at this upcoming schedule, Zach, like you just mentioned, and I'm looking at it right now. There are four games before things, I think, start to get really, really tough. You mentioned all those quad one games. They're coming, but South Carolina on the road, Texas A&M at home, West Virginia on the road, and then Georgia at home. Look, those are all four tough games. Don't get me wrong. They're going to be difficult opponents. But I think compared to what is to come following that, Tennessee on the road, Texas A&M on the road, Alabama, Missouri. I mean, things definitely do start to get a little bit more difficult, but the Tigers have the ability to start to build some momentum here, pick up some wins against opponents that they are technically favored over, and maybe start to you know, shape up as March starts to get closer and closer. I want to ask you a question, Zach, about the rotation that we saw from last night. Obviously, Lior Berman has not been a mainstay of the Tigers rotation, but he has been efficient whenever he has played. Last night, he got 16 minutes. He made the most of it. He had 8 points and was 3 of 4 from the floor. He had a massive offensive rebound in the second half. It was just a phenomenal play by him.
Yeah.
Do you think that we see maybe Pearl try and implement him a little bit more into rotations as the SEC slate goes on? Because last year it was the opposite. They played him a lot in the non-con slate, and then they completely dropped off his minutes whenever SEC play started.
Well, he's getting those minutes because Chris Moore is out. And so it's like, okay, if you want to give Lior Berman 16 minutes, how many minutes are you giving Chris Moore?
Yep.
And I like Lior Berman, and I think he offers something different offensively than what Chris Moore does and even Alan Flanagan does. But I like Chris Moore on the floor a ton. And so I don't know Lance. If you were putting him at the two a little bit more, I'd be more okay with that, if I'm being honest with you, but we just haven't really seen that. The craziest thing about Lior Berman is, like, when he's on the floor, it's not some like major defensive liability either. Like, he belongs on the floor. And so I'm cool with him getting the rotation. I just don't know how you get those type of minutes once Chris Moore is back. Until Chris Moore is back, sure. Absolutely. Because he provided a spark. He was the most efficient offensive player for Auburn last night. But you mentioned 8 minutes, 3 of 4 shooting, made half of his threes. Like, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. If you're telling me you're going to go in and you're going to shoot it 4 times and score 8 points, sign me up for that every single bit of it.
I think it's really hard to put him in over Chris Moore once he comes back into this rotation. But last year, this is something I don't know if you and I talked about, Zach, but it's something that we definitely wrote about over at auburndaily.com. The three spot for the Tigers was one of the weakest positions on the team. Alan Flanagan has stepped his game up this season. Chris yeah. Moore, we talk about efficiency. I mean, he's been one of the best players in terms of efficiency per minutes that he's gotten out there on the team, period. And then Lior Berman, like we said, has consistently been a guy that knocks down a shot, typically if he takes it. Also, one more thing I want to note from KenPom, Lior Berman has the highest offensive rating on this team, which is not saying much considering he's not gotten to play a whole lot. But again, he's a spark plug off the bench.
Yeah,
so
yeah, the small sample size is he's definitely made the most of it so far. Yeah, you mentioned Alan Flanagan. Like, he only scored 8 points last night, but I almost like his performance last night more than some of the like 16-point performances that we've seen from him recently. He took care of the basketball. He got in. He was 3 of 6 shooting, so he shot it 6 times and he scored 8 points. He was 2 of 3 from three. And in that situation, I'm like, you've got to shoot it more, Alan. But only played 23 minutes because of foul trouble. He actually eventually fouled out. But 7 rebounds. He only had 1 turnover. Lance, he had 7 the last game. And he had a steal. Like, that's a really solid stat line for 23 minutes. You know, you don't love the fouls. I mean, you don't want anybody to foul out just playing 23 minutes. But I almost like that stat line more. I think that stat line is so much more steady and so much more about, like, helping you win over the course of a season than 16 points off of like 12 shots and 7 turnovers. Like, I like what we saw from Allen Wednesday night.
Flanagan has definitely developed into one of the more, I wouldn't say consistent players on this team, but one of the more reliable players on this team. Last season, obviously suffering from, you know, recovering from that Achilles injury, but this year he's really turned it on in a lot of different areas. The turnovers have been an issue, but like you said last night, they were not an issue for him. Another guy that's also struggled a little bit in the turnover department, Wendell Green. He had 0 turnovers to 4 assists last night. I mean, Auburn right now, it feels like, I don't want to say it this prematurely, it feels like they're starting to kind of round into form. They've taken that first blow of the SEC slate. Have they played anybody significant in the conference yet? No, but I think it's nice that they're starting to understand who they are now against teams that they can beat so that they are better prepared to take on the Tennessees and the Alabamas of the world later on in the slate. So I'm excited.
And first things first, you know, you win in Columbia, you beat a South Carolina team this Saturday. That seems super, super, super doable. But then you return home to Neville and you play at the time of us recording this, an undefeated in conference play Texas A&M team. And that's a big one, because a lot of people right now are saying, hey, maybe Texas A&M could be the number 3 team in the SEC behind Alabama and Tennessee. And that's kind of where Auburn's fighting for positioning right now. That's a huge one. When you talk about at the end of the season, when you look back and it's like, oh man, we're a 5 seed instead of a 4 seed, it's because you lose games like this one coming up a week from now. And so they can't have that happen. That's a huge one. It's an 8 o'clock tip at home, which stinks. That is absolutely terrible with all the streaming options and the way that ESPN is able to televise everything. Like, that should not be a thing. It just shouldn't. Should not happen. But it is what it is. But that's the next one. And obviously, they've got to take care of South Carolina first. But next Wednesday against Texas A&M, that's the game, Lance. That's where you start to see, oh, okay, this Auburn team is figuring it out.
Every single game matters. Every single game matters for resume, your net rankings, what you're going to be seeded in the NCAA tournament. It's all very, very important. SEC's been a dogfight so far. Tigers have been winning that battle more often than not. We'll see if they can continue to kind of pick things up here over the next few games. We're going to have you covered over at auburndaily.com. Everything going on with Auburn basketball, everything going on with Auburn football as things continue to crawl closer towards the spring. Make sure you are following us over there. And hey, make sure you're following Zach and I on Twitter at ZBlackerby, at LanceDahl underscore. And tomorrow, tune in to the final episode of the Auburn Daily Show this week with Lindsey Crosby and Harrison Tarr. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.